Praise the Lord, you heavenly beings. Praise his glory and power. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Bow down before the Holy One when he appears. The voice of the Lord is heard on the seas. The glorious God thunders, and his voice echoes over the ocean. The voice of the Lord is heard in all its might and majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. He makes the mountains of Lebanon jump like calves, and makes Mount Hermon leap like a young bull. The voice of the Lord makes lightning flash. His voice makes the desert shake. He shakes the deserts of Kadesh. The Lord's voice shakes the oaks and strips the leaves from the trees, while everyone in his temple shouts, "Glory to God!" The Lord rules over the deep waters. He rules as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people and blesses them with peace.
Thank you, Stephen. Go and sit down. That's great.
Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. Ben is going to read. This is the bit where God speaks to Abraham and Sarah is listening. See what she does when she hears what God says. Right.
"Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son."
That's great. That'll do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
Well read, Ben. Yesterday, those who were with us, we looked at a passage in the New Testament in which Jesus' disciples were taught something brilliant. Very, very important about God. With man, things are impossible, but all things are possible with God. That's Mark 10, verse 27. It means only God can save us. We can't save ourselves. Today, we go right back to the beginning of the Bible and see the same lesson being taught. Can you see chapter 18, verse 14? "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And we hear that God says, "No, it's not." We're going to see how people need to learn to trust God to keep his promises, even though they may seem impossibly hard. All right, I'd like some hands up. What do you find impossibly hard? Hands up if you find maths impossibly hard. Only me. Okay, there's a few of us. All right. What about French? Lots more people don't like, they find French hard. Okay, hands down, hands up if you find PE hard. Sport. Okay, there's a few who find sport hard. Well, God doesn't find anything hard. Here are three things that seem impossibly hard to us, but God does anyway. Let me put them up. Oh, that's not what I want. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's what we want. All right, the first one is forgiveness. This is what God says. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Imagine that all the things you'd ever done to your brother or sister, or disobeying your mum and dad, or taking things when you shouldn't, could be forgiven. You could be forgiven for cheating, or stealing, or being wrongly angry. God says, "I can forgive you if you believe in me." What about the next one? Eternal life. Jesus said to the woman, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live." even though he dies. We know that people don't live forever. They get old and they die, and they get sick and they die, or they have an accident and they die. But God says everyone will be raised to life after they die, some to be with him forever. Isn't that amazing that God says there is eternal life for those who believe in him? Just like death couldn't hold Jesus, when you die, God says, I'm going to raise you to life again if you believe in me. That's a promise. And then the last one, protection. Jesus said, I shall lose none of you that God has given me, but I will raise them up at the last day. Some things we hope for but can't be sure of. Who hopes it's not going to rain on their holiday? You can't be sure of that. Who hopes their team is going to do really well this year? Can't be sure of that either, especially if you support Cambridge United. But God says to those whom he saved, you can be sure of one thing, I will never leave you. I will never let you go. So God makes promises. Nothing is too hard for him. But I reckon most of you listening to that are thinking, really? I've done such bad things. Can God really forgive me? Or what does he mean about living again? Dead people don't rise. And lose no one. I lose my keys and I lose my toys. Surely God's going to let one or two get lost. And the answer is no. God is a promise-keeping God who keeps his promises. But here's the thing. He likes to do it. Nothing is too hard for God. God likes to keep his promises supernaturally. That means in a way that you would never expect. And he likes doing that because it makes us trust him. Now, Abraham and Sarah was 99 years old. We talked about this last week. Abraham was 99, Sarah was 86. And they hadn't had children all their life. And they'd been trying and trying and trying, but they still hadn't had children. There's no way the human body is made to have children when it's that old. That's why when God said, I'm going to come back, and this time next year, Abraham and Sarah, you are going to have a son, they went, really? God said, I'm making a promise, and I'm making sure you know that it's me who's going to keep this promise by getting you really old before I give you children. And that's the way I like to do things. Now, if you want to think about this, this is the way God does it again and again and again in the Bible. He keeps his people safe. He keeps his promises. He saves people, and he does it by miracles. Do you remember God rescued Noah from a flood by telling him to build a boat a long way before the flood came? Do you remember he saved his people from the Egyptian army? The army was behind them and the sea was in front of them and they were about to be caught, and God said, I'm going to rescue you. Do you know how he did it? Who can remember how he did it? Ted. That was a clue. James. He split the sea. Now that's not normal. God did it supernaturally. He split the sea so they could walk through. God saved Gideon and all his people from 100,000 enemies with only 300 men to show that it was him who did it, not Gideon. And do you remember what happened to Jericho, that great big city with massively thick walls? God wanted to attack his people, to attack that city and capture it. Did they tunnel underneath it? Did they put ladders up the side of it? Do you remember how God made that city fall? Ben. That's how they did it. And they walked around it a few times. Now that's supernatural. God loves rescuing his people by miracles. And that's what he was doing with Abraham and Sarah. But they had to believe him even when it was hard. Let's see if I can get you to learn a lesson Just like Abram and Sarah had to learn the hard way. I need a volunteer or somebody who's prepared to come and stand at the front and do something for me. All right, Toby, come and do this, please. I'd like you to stand at the front on that chair and read this out really loud so everybody can hear.
Trust God even when it is hard.
All right. And you get one of these. Right, sit down. Have you learned the lesson yet?
No.
Would anybody else like to try? How about David? Come on then. You have to stand on the chair and you have to read this out.
Oh, I
get it. Go on, get on the chair. Stand up. If you're not prepared to do what the lesson is, you don't get to. You haven't learned the lesson. Go on, right up high. Stand. All right, there we go.
Trust God even when it is hard.
Yes! Wait. You get one of those. Anybody else learned the lesson? George, you've learned the lesson. You want to come and help. Stand on there. Maybe you've learned the lesson off by heart.
Trust God even when it is hard.
Yes. All right. Maybe a few other people would like to come and see if they've learned the lesson at the end. We're going to carry on now. Both Abraham and Sarah were told God will do something that they'll find it hard to believe. They have a problem. They find it hard to believe in, but they disbelieve in different ways. Can you remember, and I'm going to show you, Abraham found it hard to believe. Look down at chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. Can you see that? Grown-ups, can you show your youngsters where we're looking at? God told Abraham that his 86-year-old wife will be the mother of nations and kings, and whole races of people will come from her. Verse 17, Abraham laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? His answer to those two questions was, no way God's going to do that. It doesn't happen like that. So here is what he said. Look at verse 18. This is where he went really badly wrong. He said, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Now, Ishmael was a son that he'd had by another woman. And he wanted God to change his plan and to go with his own plan. Now, that is never a good idea. When God's got a plan, we should never say to God, how about my plan instead? That's what Abraham did. God said, no, I'm going to keep my promise my way. How did Sarah disbelieve? She's disbelieved in chapter 18, verse 10. Sarah's listening at the entrance to the tent. She's heard God say to Abraham, I'm going to come back, and this time next year, your wife will have a son. Now, she was so old, she couldn't have children. So Sarah laughed. She said to herself, after I'm worn out, will I now have this pleasure? She didn't trust God. Even when it was hard. Did Abraham trust God when it was hard? Did Sarah trust God even when it was hard? Neither of them did. And we should. Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane, and he knew that the very next day he was going to be killed. Not for his own sin, but for the sin of the whole world. It was very hard to trust God then. But listen to what he said. He prayed, dear God, if it can be, please take away this from me. But not my will, but yours be done. That's how he trusted God. He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to die. But he said, if that's your plan, God, I'm going to trust you. And that's what we should do. There are some things that are hard for us to trust, that we're going to be forgiven, that eternal life is ours, that God will hold us and protect us for the rest of our lives. But if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to live under God's rule, let's live trusting that he keeps his promises, even when it's hard. God says, I'll never leave you. I won't lose a single one. When you're lonely and you're frightened and feel a long way from God, I'm still looking after you, and I won't lose you. What's the lesson? The lesson's that. Trust God, even when it's hard. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back to Richard. Let's pray. Please, Heavenly Father, help us to trust you even when it's hard, because you do miracles to show that you're in charge. Help us to believe that you are in charge of all of our lives and bringing about your plan. Amen. Well done.